This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes. Scientists met in Anchorage yesterday to try to pool their limited resources to understand what is going on in Alaska's oceans as surface waters warm and huge fin whales and seabirds like murres show up dead along the coast. Why whales died last year in the Gulf of Alaska remains a mystery because scientists couldn't get to the carcasses in time to study them. Kathy Kulitz with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says they also don't have the data to understand what is killing the birds.
Birds are starving. We don't know if they're contacting some disease or toxins that we can't pick up. We're getting some good information on how they might sample for those toxins early in the spring. If it's picked up in the water or some of the prey species, that means it's present. It might be affecting the birds.
Scientists from different disciplines suggest ways to puzzle out the causes, and Kulitz came away hopeful. One of the areas needing more study is the lower parts of the food chain, including the increase in toxic algae blooms. As for the whales, Kate Savage, a veterinarian and biologist with the National Marine Fisheries Service, says she wants to help create a team ready to respond to future whale deaths more quickly. She wants to reach out to communities to both report sightings earlier and to help cut up the carcasses to prepare them for study.
You know, we're just putting everything in place so we could do a really rapid response. And we're also going to contact the communities and just let them know that we have to know as soon as possible. Because part of the issue was, you know, aside from the fact that some whale is floating off near Kodiak and never to be seen again, somebody might see a whale. You know, they see a whale and they report it 2 weeks later and then it's too late.
Savage says part of the problem is that money to pay for the work didn't arrive until well after the whales were seen in the ocean. She hopes to use the money that finally got here to better prepare for future mortalities. Everyone in the room was certain that there would be more as the Arctic continues to warm. Deborah Fauquier with NOAA collected a lot of recommendations for better understanding unusual events. But many like adding more instruments to existing moorings to track plankton blooms will cost money, about $100,000 per instrument.
And all it would take is the investment to put these nutrient samplers or these other things, you know, on those autonomous kind of moorings. You have to make that case to the powers that be with the funding that's an important monitoring. But I think that's a much more cost-effective way to get at getting those samples.
Getting samples is only the first step. Getting them tested is another hurdle. Last year, laboratories were so strapped that a program tracking toxins in shellfish found itself waiting 3 months to get its results. Scientists hope that by pooling their resources and working together more efficiently, they can begin to understand what is happening in Alaska's oceans while it is happening, and not just afterwards. That's what communities dependent on the ocean for their livelihood need. The Marine Science Symposium continues at the Captain Cook Hotel through the rest of the week. A magnitude 7.1 earthquake in Alaska's most populous region has renewed focus on the state's readiness to deal with a natural disaster. Federal Emergency Management Agency official Robert Forgut says he thinks Alaskans are more prepared to deal with natural disasters than people in other states. He says the state does a good job working with communities on emergency plans. Yesterday, Representative Harriet Drummond, an Anchorage Democrat, introduced legislation to establish the second Monday in October as Indigenous Peoples Day in Alaska. House Bill 275 follows a proclamation by Governor Bill Walker that set up observance of Indigenous Peoples Day for a year. This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes.